Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Senior Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And this week, in addition to a breakthrough therapy designation for a lung cancer drug, we'll be talking about a lot of additional side effects and health conditions that may come with a cancer diagnosis and how to manage them. And also, we heard from an expert about using cannabis during cancer care, took a look at a patient population that may be more prone to cardiometabolic conditions after cancer treatment, and we'll highlight a study that's looking at preventing infection and GVHD in patients with blood cancer who underwent a stem cell transplant. First up, I spoke with an expert who believes that patients should, quote, have the conversation about cannabis with their care teams. The use of cannabis seems to be growing when it comes to mitigating side effects from cancer treatment, though it is important that patients talk to their providers if they are using these products or have any questions about them, as Dr. Brooke Worster from Thomas Jefferson University explained. I recently spoke with Dr. Worster about the conversations patients with cancer should be having if they're considering using cannabis or if they've tried it. Namely, she discussed seeking guidance and having open discussions with your care team, but also remembering that cannabis is not a proven cure for any kind of cancer. Here's a bit of what she had to say.
So many times, this is, you know, something my neighbor told me or my friend told me or I read on the internet, and they're not even having the conversations, right? So first step is please just have the conversation. Ask. Either ask, is this something that might help me? Or it's okay. And I hope patients feel empowered to say, this is something I have tried and it felt helpful, right? So, you know, start there. The biggest thing that I hate to see happen is that those conversations don't even happen, because there's already gaps in terms of specific guidance that anyone, any one clinician can give a patient about exactly what product to use or exactly what dose to use. But we can give guidance that can help people sort of avoid risks or bad side effects, or understand if there are complications that are concerning. For instance, patients that are on immunotherapy, we are starting to see that there might be some alteration in immune response for people that are taking, that are regularly using cannabis, particularly higher CBD based cannabis products, because that has a direct kind of connection to your immune system. The targets of the endocannabinoid system in interact with your immune system. And so it also matters to say, listen, we don't know, but we are seeing a signal here. And so I would caution you from using this every day. And there aren't many instances where I think that's a concern, but it goes both directions. So just have the conversation. And I think asking either, can this be helpful to me? Is there anything I should worry about? Or saying, I've been using this and it's been helpful. Can you help me make sure that I can either safely get access to it regularly or give me guidance on forms I should use or shouldn't use or things I should avoid or shouldn't avoid?
And Brielle, I think Dr. Worster here has some very good advice that open lines of communication between patient and care provider going in both directions is so, so important.
Yeah, I agree, Alex. And we see that a lot with just side effects management in general, but especially with something that might be, I don't know, for some people, you know, cannabis use is still pretty taboo. So I understand that there might be some barriers to having those conversations, or people might feel like they're being judged. But yeah, Dr. Worster definitely emphasized the point that, hey, the clinicians want to know if you're thinking about this, if you're trying it, things like that.
And there's also issues such as, in Dr. Worster's words, the Byzantine legal structure on both the federal and state level around cannabis and all these other things that people might be nervous discussing with their doctors. But I think, yeah, to her point, open conversation, so important. And on another note, I feel like I ask this every week, but what's the FDA up to?
So last week, the FDA granted a breakthrough therapy designation to Bay 292708 for the treatment of HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. So the designation signifies a potential advancement in the treatment options for patients with this specific type of lung cancer, which, according to the data, happens in approximately 2% to 4% of advanced non-small cell lung cancer cases. So the drug has a breakthrough therapy designation, and with that, it will be fast-tracked. So that means the FDA is speeding up its review and potential approval, getting this drug into the hands of people who could benefit from it sooner. So Bay 292-7088, it's an oral TKI drug, and it showed promising results in a phase one trial with a focus on safety, efficacy, and of course, our cancer outcomes. The drug works by blocking the HER2 protein, which can contribute to lung cancer proliferation. So a lot of these targeted drugs now, that what we're seeing is they're finding a certain molecule or protein on the cancer cells. They're blocking that. They're interrupting that, you know, signal and stopping cancer in its tracks. So it's definitely exciting to see more of these kind of targeted treatments coming out in various disease types.
And if you want to know more about some of the latest developments in treatment for lung cancer, here's my shameless plug of the week. Be sure to check out our upcoming special issue all about lung cancer. If you haven't subscribed to the print edition of Cure, please be sure to do so. We have got a lot of information, a lot of insight on lung cancer, which will be coming to mailboxes soon. And next up, a recent study found that Hispanic and Latino cancer survivors have higher rates of cardiometabolic comorbidities, meaning health conditions that affect the heart and or the metabolic system, such as diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease, which can complicate cancer treatment and post-treatment health management. And the study showed that survivors with cardiometabolic conditions experienced lower health-related quality of life and had unmet supportive care needs, particularly in terms of emotional and physical well-being. The research also found that socioeconomic factors such as income levels were also linked to the prevalence of cardiometabolic conditions among Hispanic and Latino survivors, highlighting the importance of access to healthcare and healthy lifestyle behaviors in managing these health challenges. The study emphasized the need for holistic approaches to health that consider environmental influences and support policies promoting heart healthy behaviors within communities.
So Alex, I think it's not great to see obviously disparities and things like that, but it is encouraging to see so much research and data coming out that, you know, people are really looking into this. What are the communities that are at risk for certain things? Where are people being underserved? And hopefully research like this is going to start tackling these issues head on.
I so appreciate that research is expanding its reach beyond simply treating, not simply because it's a very complex process, but beyond being entirely focused on treating the disease and looking at things like comorbidities and disparities and inequities and kind of all these things around the periphery of what used to be considered cancer treatment. I think that is so, so important because it acknowledges the patient as a whole person who lives a whole life and lives in a community.
I couldn't agree more. Next up, there is a trial that is evaluating a reduced chemotherapy regimen after stem cell transplant for blood cancers. So patients with blood cancers can now talk to their cancer care team about the possible enrollment in the OPTIMIZE trial, which is investigating a lower dose of post-transplant cyclophosphamide, also referred to as PTCY, to reduce infection risk after undergoing a stem cell transplant while also preventing graft versus host disease. So that's when your body kind of attacks against, the donor cells. So for this particular case, it's for patients who underwent a stem cell transplant from a partially matched unrelated donor. So the phase two trial, or researchers on the phase two trial, aim to enroll about 190 patients across cancer centers throughout the United States, and it's expected to conclude in June 2026. By exploring reduced PTCY dosages, researchers are hoping to enhance patient survival and quality of life by minimizing the toxicities that are associated with the current standard dosing of cyclophosphamide. So we know that, you know, most cancer therapies and most drugs in general, unfortunately, come with side effects. So this trial is really looking at, can we give this same drug, but less of it and have similar outcomes? So definitely stay tuned for more on that. And if that patient population, you know, signified you, represented you, patients who underwent a stem cell transplant from a partially matched unrelated donor, and you're interested in joining a trial, maybe talk to your care team about this or about, you know, any clinical trials, because I think, as we mentioned in earlier podcast episodes, this is where the newest therapies come from. This is how these cancer advancements are made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so for more on that and everything else we've discussed today and all the latest news in the oncology world, be sure to stay tuned to curetoday.com. And until we talk to you next time, I've been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bennion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure underscore Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.